Leise war gestern, der Time for Metal Podcast.
Hey everyone, my name is Pia. You're listening to Leise war gestern, the Time for Metal Podcast. This episode will be in English because we have guests from a very international band and we have two of the three Ecuadorian guys. The band is called Black Sun, and yeah, please introduce yourself so that the listeners out there already know which voice belongs to whom of you.
You want to start? Hola, yo soy Nicolás, el baterista de Black Sun.
Oh. So, and this is Santiago, I'm the bass player of Black Sun. The other guy, the funny guy, is a drummer.
I already told you before that I speak a little bit Spanish, but it wouldn't be enough for this episode. And I think our listeners would be happy if we keep it with English. But as usual, we will play a round of our theme roulette, which means we will have a random topic now that I don't even know before. And we will talk 10 minutes about that. Then we have the timer. And when the timer rings, then we immediately have to stop talking, no matter if we are in between a sentence, and we are not allowed to talk about the topic later.
All right.
We will have to be silent about that forever. So are you ready for the first round?
All right. Let's do this.
Okay, the first topic that we're talking about is price policy at metal festivals and concerts. I will set the timer. Price policy, wow. That's that's a very deep topic.
Yeah. I mean, it can be navigated into so many ways.
Yes. How is the price policy in the country where you live?
So Ecuador doesn't really have an extremely large metal following, especially where we live in Guayaquil. We are in the coast, but in the highlands, in the Quito, the capital, there is a little bit bigger following. And there are a couple of festivals, but a lot of people got used to almost free entrance or very cheap entrance. But nowadays, there has been a couple of very large 1 or 2 day festivals, but full day, and price points are between $300 to, you know, $50. But I think that it has been quite decent, the attendance. Price policy is such a hard topic to talk about because it not only depends on, you know, the money that you need to make the festival and try to make some money, but also on each country's tax policies. For you know, some countries tax a lot more concerts than others. Some others actually don't even tax, but promote the fact that you do this kind of thing. So in Ecuador is not so friendly, and that's why watching concerts here in Ecuador is not a cheap place to see concerts.
And I could imagine that there are not so many popular bands from Ecuador or in general from South America, at least not here in Europe. And the big names, quote unquote, in metal are from USA, that is closer to you, but also, of course, from Europe. Yeah. And they, of course, have to come over to another continent and bring their stuff and everything. So, yes, that's very expensive too, especially nowadays it's getting even more expensive. So
that is the case always for South America. And that's why, if we're talking about price policy specifically, maybe that's why like water and beer or alcohol become so expensive in the shows, because it's part of being able to cover those costs. So it's a very tricky and very, very wide and deep topic to talk about. And we can stay there for hours, but, you know, I think it will always depend on the organizer and the promoter and how well it navigate. Like, people that know how to do these things can do it more efficiently. And if it's a good promoter that has good experience and at the same time doesn't have enough greed to make tons of money, then, you know, it's okay. But at the same time, we have to think that bands like ours don't really make much money, you know, streaming. Nobody sells records anymore, very few. So the only way to make money for bands is to actually play live. And so that's why the price, you know, price wise, you've seen a lot of concert tickets go high in price, but also usually they come with a great show. For example, Rammstein, which is a perfect example that you get what you pay for. It's might not be a cheap ticket, but you certainly get a show that it's larger than what you're paying for. Mm-hmm. You like Rammstein?
I didn't like the music before, and we had a big issue over here with sexual harassment. So
I remember that. We did.
I'm not on that page anymore.
But talking about the concert, you know, like
The shows are very huge with the fire pyro effects. Mm-hmm.
And if you get something like that, then as a consumer, you're like, yeah, I will pay for a show like that because I'm getting what my money's worth. So, but in the end, I think it's mainly because bands need the money nowadays from the live shows to sustain themselves. And that's why maybe, you know, ticket prices are a little bit higher nowadays.
Yes. How is it with visitors? I have a friend who comes from Quito. She's now living in Germany, and she said that very few bands even came to Ecuador when she lived there. I think Nightwish once came there, and of course ticket prices were huge. And I have another friend who lives in Brazil, and she also said that it's very hard for her to afford band shirts and stuff, also because of the shipping costs when the bands are from Europe. But other shows sold out when a band from Europe comes to Ecuador?
Usually,
yes.
It depends on communication, because sometimes, depending on the promoter, sometimes the lack of communication, I mean, maybe it's too tight on money and it's not such a large band. So if communication is not there, then some people might not even know that the band is playing. But usually, most usually, when international bands come, for the first time, it's almost always sold out. If they repeat, maybe it's a little harder to fill it out.
Yes.
But for example, Ozzy Osbourne
or Metallica. Metallica, the first time that they play in Ecuador back in 2014, the 50,000 people or more, 60,000. And the second time that they came, 2 years before that show, after that show was like 15,000. So big difference, right?
Yes.
That's a good example, I think.
But when Ozzy Osbourne came, it was everything sold out in, I mean, the first time Metallica came and the only time Ozzy Osbourne came, it was sold out in 3 minutes, like everywhere. People were making lines. So it really depends on the band. And how much you're expecting. For example, the Scorpions were coming in. Unfortunately, we had riots in the country and the show got canceled. But prices were extremely high and it was sold out.
Sold out. Mm-hmm. Crazy. And we paid for a ticket, actually.
Yeah.
Yes, and we didn't sell Scorpions. Imagine for us to see that great show, great band from Germany, of course. We love Scorpions. For example, it's a classic, right?
Yes, but the funny thing is, in Germany, they are not so popular. They are more popular outside of Germany.
But for example, we opened for Edguy here in Ecuador some years ago, or I think it was the Ministry of Saints tour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and when Toby and the band were still together, and we opened for them, and that was not a sold-out show.
Like 600 people, and that's it, in a small theater. Mm-hmm. Very small venue.
But that was many, many, many years ago, but they were on this South American tour, so it was possible for them to actually come here But singing in South America, you were mentioning, sometimes it's like you're used to, okay, I'm in France, I'll take a train and I'll be in Germany in a few hours, you know, or the next day.
Yeah.
But in here, we do not have the transportation easiness. It's not easy to move around, and it's not cheap to move around countries in South America. And some countries that might sound small are still pretty decently large and surrounded by, you know, forests or whatever. So
you have to take a plane.
The only way is to take a plane. And when you're bringing rig, so your concert, your show might not, the whole production needs to be smaller when you do South American tour.
Unless you have your own plane like Iron Maiden, and you can do whatever you want. You can go wherever you want to go, right?
And your own pilot even.
and that's a thing, you know, with, you know, regarding price policy can be very different depending on where you are, but you have to be understanding of what a lot of people are not. They're like, yeah, but why in Europe ticket shows are like $30? Well, you know, logistics is a lot easier. And there's, you know, maybe the tax thing is not as hard and you're moving between customs and nobody's, you know, in here in South America, when you're moving from country to country, your equipment needs to go through customs and they need to check and has to have a permit. So it makes it so much more difficult. And I'm not trying to defend high ticket prices because I wish they were lower, but you have to sometimes understand what is the meaning behind all these things.
Yeah, we have some bands here that don't even have a tour bus. They book a van and then they book an Airbnb or something. They do the all the stuff that the stagehands do. They do that themselves, the sound check and everything. Yeah. And so, I think everyone knows what I wanted to say. But that was the timer. So first topic already done. We're not allowed to speak about prices anymore.
We did it.
Yes. So now let's talk about your band. Let's talk about Black Sun. You will release your self-titled next album on September the 2nd. And that album is...
September 6th. Friday, September 6th.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. September 6th. And the album is kind of a reborn album for you. Can you explain that for our listeners?
So
the thing is, Black Sun has been around for a while now, but we met with Nino when we recorded our third album in Helsinki. We were producing that album with Timo Tolki, but we were recording the album at Sonic Pump Studios. Nino Laurene, who's now our guitar player and producer as well, he is the studio manager and part owner of the studio. And we met with him and we became really close friends. Like there was a chemistry there, some kind of brotherhood. And after that album was done, we stayed in touch. And then we were doing a project album coming up after the Puppeteer album. We did not know exactly like what to aim. But we knew that we wanted to record the album here in Ecuador and instead of traveling the whole band somewhere else. So we needed a producer that was willing to come down here and meet with us. And it made sense that it was Nino. So we agreed on doing this project album and he came down. And during that time, that's what our EP is called, Silent Enemy. We actually have a short film about this EP. That's when we parted ways with our old singer, with the previous singer. And so the band really, it's one thing to change your bass player. Like I stepped up into Black Sun in 2011, but it's another thing to change your lead vocals because it's like, you know, it's the frontman of the band. But at the same time, it was for us a little bit of a relief because it allowed us to explore a wider range of musical and compositional range. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's like night and day, but it definitely opened up a little bit the specter. And since we did not have a singer for that album that was being recorded, and that's when we parted ways with the singer, then with Nino allowed us and helped us to to get together many, many singers, many friends of him, to put out this record, including Netta, who's Nino's wife. And Netta had already sang with us in a duet with our previous singer in the third album, in a single called Let Me Be. And that went perfect. Like, that was very good actual song. And it like, we were on the top 10 in Ecuador for many weeks. I mean, a heavy metal song in a South American tropical Caribbean kind
reggaeton
of country.
Country.
Yes. So, I mean, that for us was like, you know, Netta is a good fit for us, for our sound. And so she was part of that EP, as other many singers as well. But in order to support that EP, we had a small tour in Ecuador. And Netta accepted to be the singer for that tour.
Mm-hmm.
Not officially part of the band, but she would be the singer for that tour specifically. And Nino came over and we played a few shows, and everything was... The friendship that we had already with Nino just grew so much stronger. But at the same time, Netta became part of this family. And so at the end of that tour, we sat together. We were having dinner and, you know, celebrating the end of the tour. And we were like, you know, this has been very, very fun. And we really enjoyed the company and being with each other, sharing and making music. And we, by that time, during the rehearsals, we already started composing, writing a new song, couple of new songs for this new album. So at the end of this dinner, Netta said, you know what, guys, I will take the role of being the lead singer. We asked her and she said, I will accept it. I want to be part of this. So it's been a long story that I've been circulating, but that is the explanation of why it's actually like a rebirth. You have to understand that this album is like a new Black Swan. So you have to kind of listen it as a new band. And it's good for us because at the same time, we were not extremely well known in the world. So it's a good way to present ourselves with this album as the first album of Black Swan, if you want to call it, or the first album of the new stage of Black Swan.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's a really cool story. And also, Netta has a voice that she can do a lot with. So she is, I would describe your music as melodic metal, and she is not doing operatic vocals, but more the rock style vocals. But you can you can hear that she can do a lot of stuff. So I can imagine that it wasn't hard for her to do the vocals of someone else who recorded a song with you before.
No, actually, I mean, she has such a wide and versatile range, and she has great technique, but at the same time she loves what she does. And the good thing about it is that, you know, we are South American, so our influence is not only European heavy metal, even though for example, we started like growing up besides Metallica and, you know, the well-known bands, Helloween for us was like a big north when we were younger. And you can hear a lot of that influence, but at the same time, you can also hear a lot of influences that are not in heavy metal, in the heavy metal range. And with Netta is the same. She has a lot of jazz background. She loves a little bit of R&B as well. So I think I think you already have listened to this album via the media package we sent out, and you can listen that. The versatility of Netta in this album is extremely wide. I mean, there's a ballad, very clean, but there's also growling. There's also raspy vocals, powerful, strong vocals. And yeah, we definitely never wanted to do operatic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think even she is a little bit surprised of the versatility we have been able to get in this album from her.
Mm-hmm.
And the lyrics.
That's what I was...
The lyrics are amazing. The
lyrics are special. Too, and she wrote a lot of the lyrics.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm. Great lyrics. I mean, I sometimes when I listen to those lyrics and I listen to her delivery, just, you know, it gives me chills because we know. I mean, there's this level of friendship and familiar kind of thing that we know things about each other that, you know, people outside from the family of Black Swan do not know. But when you listen to the songs, not every single lyric she wrote, but but she interpreted all the lyrics that all the band wrote for her, you know, for her delivery. And I think she did a wonderful job. And you can listen and you can feel that every single word that she's saying has a meaning. So we are deeply in love with the way this album came out.
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe you can tell me a bit about the lyrics of one song that really caught my attention, and that's Revolution Now. What's that song about?
So that song is, the backstory behind the song is that originally that song was called A Different Way as a when we were writing it. And it was a riff that Nino was doing, and then I jumped in and Christopher jumped in, and it was like a very heavy riff. So we called it Vikingo Balls. So it's a very ballsy, very punch in your face song. But at the same time, it's one of these few songs in the album that are still a little bit power metal influence. Mm-hmm. With of course, a little, you can hear a little bit also of Judas Priest there. But the lyrics there, you know, were written by Nino, and I think it's a very Nino way of expressing what he's feeling, but it's pretty much the feeling of us getting together and starting this revolution of, you know, he says something about the fireflies in your head and then creating this, mm-hmm. you know, revolution now, which is what you feel inside when you're creating such a powerful feeling of expressing your music out there and putting a riff, like when you're playing a riff and you have this, you know, this green in your face, like you feel like it's, you know, that is, it creates a revolution inside you. It's something around those lines. And there's also a couple of deeper meaning, but I think that eventually I will allow Nino to explain a little further the meaning behind some specific things here and there. But it overall, it is about this fire inside of how you feel when you're creating music with your brothers, and you are this army of, and you're, you know, it's a revolution inside you, something like that.
That's also the feeling that you need when you go on stage, right?
Oh, and exactly, that song was created right after or in between shows in Ecuador, and we had that feeling. Exactly, I love what you just said, because it actually relates immediately to that. That song was written between shows in Ecuador when we were writing the album. So it carried that feeling, and you can listen to it.
That's awesome. We have a very cool band here in Europe that's called Gojira. Maybe you know them. They also played at the Olympic opening ceremony.
We're all watching.
I love Gojira. I love that band.
I saw them live several times, even when they were not so popular, when they played very small clubs. But already then, they had this special atmosphere on their live shows. So it's a really great experience to be at one of their shows just for the experience itself. And the song Revolution Now, it has kind of the same vibe. Like, yeah, we're here now, we're doing this together, and we're bringing this to you. And it's a kind of exchange of energy between the band and the fan.
100%. You. I am so glad that you mentioned it. It's coming from you and not from us, because that kind of says that we have done a good job, or at least a decent job of, you know, delivering the message.
We should play that one live.
Yeah, I mean, playing that song is very fun. It's a little technical. It's a little hard, but it's
fun.
It's a very fun song to play.
Yeah,
and it gives you this ballsy attitude, you know.
Are there any plans for you to bring the new album on stage, maybe also in Europe?
100%. I will let Nico do a little bit of talking now.
I will do my best, because my English is not the best, of course. But what I can say is that this year, for sure, we're going to make this Ecuadorian small mini tour in like a four shows in four different cities in our country. That's going to be the starting point, probably in November. It's going to be like this kind of a introduction shows. And then Next year, of course, we are planning to go to Europe. Hopefully, we can play in Germany. We want to go. I want to go to come back to Hamburg because we recorded an album in Hamburg, actually, in Kai Hansen's studio back in 2007, I think. Imagine nice. That.
Before it burned down.
Yeah,
before
yes.
Before it burned down, yes.
Nice that experience. Was gonna say. yes, burned up. And nice experience there in Germany. We made a lot of friends. Great people.
And Christopher has family there. So
yeah.
It's always, you know, it's a good connection to be around and to be in places where you can not only tour, but actually get to know a little bit more about the culture and friends and, you know, going out and having a beer. And enjoying that is one of the things about touring that, I mean, we have not experienced it in Europe yet, but we have toured our country several times and you're always on this schedule and you're always going and going and going and because you have to make the most out of the time, you know, days on the road cost money, but you never allow yourself to enjoy, you know, the cities and the people. So. If we are definitely looking forward to find a balance and try to do like a 2-week tour in Europe, but have a couple go to these specific places that we want to go and that have a meaning for us, you know, in Finland, in Germany, maybe a couple of places in Spain and France that we have been looking into. It depends on how we can navigate, but
yeah,
but definitely the idea is not only to play, but to bring this experience with us and also become part of the experience, you know, in each city we visit.
It's all about to enjoy the opportunities and the passion that we have for music. Enjoy the ride, have fun with your friends, with your families, your family.
And hopefully with new fans.
And hopefully meet new people and the people can watch or shows live.
Yes, and that's another advantage here in Europe that the roads are not that long, so you don't have to travel that long, and then you have some time for sightseeing as well. Hopefully,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes,
yeah, 100%.
That's the idea. Have fun. Yeah. So let's see. Maybe next year we can.
We're planning for it.
You can watch us live. Hopefully.
Hope so. Hamburg is not so far away from where I live.
Cool. So let's see.
Is there anything else you want to say about your upcoming album or a show or something else?
Yeah, I mean, there's two things. Regarding the album is that we truly believe that this is... anybody that does not know us should allow themselves to listen to this album, give us a chance, because we certainly believe that this is the sound we were looking for, and it's a very versatile album, so there's a little bit of good for everybody. There's a little bit of, you know, depending on the genres that you like, there's a little bit for everybody, and I think it shows. I mean, it's an album done with a lot of passion, with a lot of heart, with a lot of honesty, and at the same time, it's an album that we feel like we have made it not for the fans, but this is the new step in the road for us. So it is the way for us to present to you what we can be and what we can be moving forward. So give it a chance. If you're listening to this podcast, you know, give it a chance. Go to whichever digital platform you use and stream it on September 6th. There's a lot of good songs there. I personally like the last song of the album. It's very, very weird and different. But it's a roller coaster ride, and it has a little bit for everybody. So that's and the album has been fully mixed in Dolby Atmos and mastered in Dolby Atmos as well. So if you are able to have good headphones to hear that experience, will be great. Not many bands are doing it. It's a little expensive to do it, but this is something we wanted to do to also mark that, you know, what we want to achieve. You know, this is going as high professional level as it can be. And regarding the show, you know, we put out a We did a short film, a short film with a soundtrack of heavy metal, and it won 34. People were thinking we were crazy, but it won 34 awards. And so that only fueled us, the fire, to carry this idea, this imagery, this scenery, this theatrics of bringing that into the show. Because we've always been a band that wants to put out more than just a couple of guys and girls playing in the stage. And it is our idea to bring on the biggest, most cool show that we can, you know, in our budget. But definitely, when we put something out there, we do it with we are thinking as an audience on what we are expecting to see from the artisan. So that is a very high level that you put onto yourself. Sometimes you can achieve it, sometimes you can't, but it is our will to put on a show that people will remember. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So, do you want to play another round of theme roulette?
Sure.
Okay. Nice. The next topic is the ultimate metal road trip playlist. So when you are on tour in Europe next year, hopefully,
yes.
Which music will you be listening to in your tour van?
Probably it's going to be a lot of Judas Priest, because of Christopher, he's a crazy Judas Priest fan. So probably we will listen a lot of Judas Priest.
if you go into my algorithm and you push play, you are going, I mean, I have two children, so some children music might come out automatically generated from it. But there will be a lot of Phil Collins and some Sting as well, and some jazz stuff there from Netta. I think it could be a very random but very fun playlist.
And Heavisaurus too.
And Heavisaurus too. I don't know if you, you know, the dinosaurs. Now they are in Germany, them, yes. Right? They and Nino Laurene, our guitar and producer, he's songwriting for
Heavisaurus. He's a member of the Finnish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yes, we have them here as well. And I also have children and played a CD by them. And they also like that. I think that's a very cool way to introduce heavy metal to children.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
And I think, I mean, some of those songs are very catchy. Like, they're very, like, I would even listen to myself. So this is this is exactly the great point about that, you know, you go to your show, to the shows with your children, and they enjoy it, but you are also enjoying it. So it's pretty good idea. And we hope for the best for Heavisaurus in Germany.
But yes, a friend of mine
include that.
A friend of mine interviewed the guitar player of the German version. He's called Christoph Leim. Yes. And he also said that they sometimes play a riff or something like a cover song. And then the parents are like, yay. The children are like, what is that song? Because they only know the Heavisaurus stuff. So I think it's very funny to go to one of their shows also for the parents.
And the costumes and the show, it's pretty cool.
Have you been in one of Heavisaurus shows before?
Not yet, because my child is not old enough to go there, but in a few years I will definitely go.
Cool. We want to watch them too.
Yeah.
I never seen them live, so
a little bit of Ghost would also come out on the automatic playlist.
Ah, yes, Ghost. Yes, probably Ghost. We are huge fans of Ghost
since the beginning.
Since the beginning, yeah. Remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We in 2013, we were the only two crazy people in that festival singing Ghost, and nobody knew the band. So it was, that was funny, actually.
But an automatic playlist of all the genres that that we listen to would be very wild to listen. I think it would be fun. Actually, if you're touring around and you're listening to only one kind of genre, then, you know, you kind of get bored. So it's good to jump around from black and death metal all the way to, you know,
salsa.
It's, you know, Louis Armstrong or whatever.
Or salsa. Salsa yes. Merengue. Latin music.
We are very open to most genres, except reggaeton. Mm. We don't like.
Oh, okay.
Not allowed. No.
What I really like is when I've been at a metal festival, so when I've been listening to metal the whole weekend, and then I drive home from the festival, I like to listen to Eurodance. I don't know if you know what it is, but it was the 90s music here in Germany, and I think all over Europe.
You know, I love to have my own playlist, the 90s playlist, the Eurodance. You know,
oh, awesome!
And I always drink with that song. You know, when I get half a beer with my friends, especially with Christopher, we put that and we get wasted actually with that kind of, because, you know,
it brings you back memories.
Yes,
it's a good getaway. I mean, it's good melodies as well. So, you know, it doesn't have to have distorted guitars and blast beat to be good.
Yeah, and it always gives you this vibe.
Your head.
Yes.
Yeah. What is love?
That would definitely be part of the automatic playlist.
And then you press random, and then you have a perfect mix.
Yes, that will be like, you know, 2-4 hours or whatever of complete random grateful music. You know, greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
For me, it also depends on the time of day. When I have to drive on the motorway or somewhere in the night, so when it's all dark, I really like to listen to atmospheric music. And we have some bands also here, like Long Distance Calling. They are mostly instrumental band.
Good band, yeah.
Long Distance Calling. It's from Germany?
Yes.
That band is from... Really? Cool. Sounds great. It's super atmospheric. Atmospheric ambience thing, but metal. Mm. Amazing band. I love.
Yes,
we always put that kind of music in the studio, actually.
Yeah, and
as a background music.
Yeah, no,
but rock music, you know, metal music, but nice ambience, you know, relaxed.
Yes,
I sometimes when I'm very tired and I need to drive, unfortunately, and you know, it can be a little dangerous. So there's this album that I usually play. That is from Insomnium, the one the previous album was a little bit more atmospheric.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great album, like from front to back, I can listen to it like the whole way, and it will kind of give me the same feeling that you're telling us with the Long Distance Calling kind of thing.
Yeah, somehow it helps you to focus on what you're doing. So it helps you to focus on driving and not fall asleep or whatever. So you can you can get home safely.
when I travel, like hours traveling, you know, between cities, like Guayaquil to Quito is to the capital is like 6 to 7 hours drive. Okay. And I like to put, this is very different, Enigma.
Ah, yeah.
Enigma. That band, you know, it's
90s.
Sub 90s ambience kind of thing. And, you know, like chill, almost yoga kind of music, you know. And I love to put that playlist, the Enigma, because, you know, the highlands, the mountains, and you watch the beautiful Ecuadorian view, you know, in the road. And with that music, you know, it's like a, make you feel good.
Mm.
Especially if you have to take this super long trip, you know, of course, not in the night, just in the day, you have a nice, good sleep to make this trip, of course. Otherwise, it's going to be like, you're going to fall asleep, of course.
Mm-hmm. And, or stop every 2 hours and run around your car.
Yes, of course. Yes.
We have another band here in Germany. They are from Hamburg, actually. They're called Totgelichter. The name is from the Lord of the Rings trilogy. They switched some of the band members. So before that, they played really heavy or really hard black metal. And then they switched also the singer to a female clean vocalist, and she has a very low voice. And that also fits this atmospheric music. And when I don't want to listen to long distance calling anymore, then that's also the music that I'm putting on to stay focused.
Cool. We'll give it a listen to it.
Yes. I never hear about that band. Sounds
They're not so popular outside of Hamburg, I think.
Remember with Nico, after that 2013, we did a small Euro trip, and we were in Germany as well.
In Munich.
And then we went to, of course, we went to Neuschwanstein Castle. And then we were there at Ace's town, and we were having a beer with, a pretzel. And there was a guy there that was playing, he worked in the restaurant. He was playing some music, and we were like, that's pretty cool. And we were like, what are you listening to? And he wrote down a paper, and it was like Northern League, something like that. And then we kind of find them, and it was not easy to find them, but I remember quite well.
Cut. That's it. We're done with round two of our theme roulette. And also with this podcast episode, but we have another special with this podcast. Our guests are allowed to choose a song that we will play right now when the episode is done, when we said goodbye. And I always encourage bands to take one of their own songs, but you can also choose any other song that you want to. You can choose Eurodance or Long Distance Dawning or whatever, but you can also choose a Black Sun song.
I will choose Drowning Scene from our album, because I love that song, and I can imagine also playing live that show. It will be probably the first song of the show, and I always imagine this kind of a intro vibe that has and a lot of fireworks, pyrotechnic things and light and stuff, and very theatrical kind of show.
Yeah, so this song has Drowning Scene was the second single we released, and it has a somewhat long intro, not extremely long, but it's like a minute and something, atmospheric kind of intro building up for what's coming. So it's a good song. I think that really resembles the new sound of Black Sun, so it's a good pick from Nicolas. So Drown in Sin by Black Suns. Yours truly.
Have fun with listening to that song now. And thank you for being my guests here. It was fun.
Thank you very much. It's been our pleasure. And whenever you want to have us back, we'll be very glad to be.
Nice. Thank you, and bye-bye.
Thanks. Have a good day.